So firstly, I want to thank everybody who came to the Odyssey Sailing Festival in the BVI. We had an amazing time. It was incredible, and it was so good that we all decided literally immediately that we need to do another one. So we've got one happening this September in Greece, September the 14th, leaving from Athens. We've got a bunch of the skippers coming back. We've got Brady and Alex from Cruisers Academy, Dustin Reynolds, world record holder, single-handed sailor, Glenn Shepherd from Below Deck Yacht, Erica and Warren from We Sail, Eric the Viking, No Bullshit Just Sailing, Dan and Kika from Sailing Uma, Trip and Kira from Apparent Winds, and world record holder Laura Decker. And then we've got a couple of new skippers, Lauren Landers coming over from America, and we've got Nikki Henderson, the ocean sailor. So if you're interested in this week, go to the website. It's theoceancruisers.com/odyssey. You can see all the details on there about which boats we're going to be using and what the cabin availability is. So check that out. But for now, enjoy the podcast with Emma. This week on the Ocean Cruisers podcast, I'm having a chat with Emma from Sail Seabird. Emma has been a professional mariner now for the past 5 years and has clocked in an impressive 25,000 ocean miles. She's been working for the 59 North Sailing School in Norway as first mate on a bunch of their boats and has recently set up her own sailing voyage business in Portland, Maine called Sail Seabird, where she holds trips and courses on sail training and operating and maintaining boats. Check out sailseabird.com for more info on Emma's business. So whereabouts are you? What are you up to?
I'm in Portland, Maine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I moved here in September or October, a few months ago, with my boyfriend and my boat. We're up here now.
What part of the States are you from?
I'm from New York State, so the Hudson Valley area. So it's a little bit north of New York City, on the Hudson River. So that's where I started sailing, was on the little river there.
Ah, right, nice. So, like, I'm not that great at American geography, but Maine isn't too far away from New York, is it?
It doesn't look too far on a map, but it's probably a 6-hour drive back to my parents' house in New York. So right. By U.S. standards, like, not that far, but it's
that's,
you know,
like the length of my country. Drive. Yeah, exactly. All right. So I'll tell you what, just like a brief run through of maybe your history a little bit, just in terms of like when you started sailing, because you've got a lot of miles under your belt, eh? And then you've got like your own boat now, and you're doing passages and stuff like that. So when did it all start for you? Like, when did you start getting on the water?
Yeah, at quite an early age. So my mom grew up in New Hampshire, which is just west of Maine. But she would go to the coast of Maine and sail with her family when she was young. And her family did an Atlantic Circle when she was like 13 or 14. So I grew up hearing about them going across the Atlantic and up into the French canals. And so that
was
like
your mom that did that on her parents' boat.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was like the family lore on her side. And then my dad grew up in Holland wanting to go sailing, but not having access to it. So he would, you know, muck around in the canals on like an inflatable raft with his friends. But that was about it until he came to the States when he was 18, and then figured out how to get on boats, just walking down docks, and then met my mom. And that was like a nice match. And so we grew up doing a little bit of sailing. We like often had a little trailer sailer in the driveway when I was little, and then had a 34-foot boat for a couple years when I was like 10 or 11, which was awesome. So we would take a couple weeks and sail around the Long Island Sound in the summer. But my dad was also a boat mechanic, and so I grew up in boatyards, like, you know, on a day off from school would be in a boatyard with him.
Right.
Handing him screwdrivers or reading a book under a hull or something. So always around boats.
If you didn't end up sailing and doing this, that would probably be the stranger option, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I know my sister is choosing the more, you know, sane path away from sailing. And my dad's still super into sailing. And so he and I have been able to share that, which has been cool. But I don't think I started to care about sailing until I was like 13 or so, and started teaching sailing at the local sailing school. So we had the little sailing camp on the river that I worked at like over summers and for a long time. Yeah.
So you were teaching people how to sail when you were 13?
Yeah, and I had no idea what I was doing. I mean, it was like,
Well, you were getting paid.
yeah, I was like teaching children how to sail. So it was more like
Oh, okay.
take the 8-year-olds out and bring them back, alive by lunchtime. And I knew how to sail enough to like get in and out. And that's sort of how I learned to sail, really, was teaching kids how to sail at this day camp, which was
That's
so much
amazing.
fun.
So at
Yeah.
age 13, you can get a job in America and earn a good living.
I mean, I think I made $7 an hour or something. I mean, it
Oh,
was,
so
but
not a good living.
it was summer money. It was great. And then by the time I was in college and going back and teaching, then I was teaching adults and I was running the whole camp, and then I made good summer money. And I learned a ton there. It was so much fun. Yeah. And low stakes, like, you were just like on and off the dock, out in the river and super protected. And yeah, it was great.
Right, so bloody hell, you've obviously grown up listening to stories from like your mum's side about God doing an Atlantic circuit when she was a teenager.
Yeah.
What type of year was that?
Like when did she do that?
Yeah.
It was the 70s, I guess. So
Wow.
she's yeah, it was the late 70s. And yeah, I think yeah, they were away for a whole year. They did the North Atlantic. They went from Maine to Ireland
Yeah.
at the end of a summer, and then she went back to school for the school year, and then they took a whole year off after that. I think the North Atlantic crossing was rough, like pretty traumatizing for the
It
whole family.
sometimes
And
can be.
yeah, no, definitely. And it was like bold of my grandfather to take, his family on that, which,
They were
was in
brave old
character
men
for
back in the
him.
day,
Yeah, for
brought
sure.
up through the
Yeah.
war and all that.
Oh my
Flipping
God,
heck.
yeah.
Like she
Yeah.
did it in an era when it was actually tough, like not, it's not dangerous now. You can see what's happening with the weather for like days and days on end. You can
Yeah.
pick when you go, but yeah, in the 70s it was like, oh, wind smells good, let's shoot across today.
Totally. Yeah. And navigating, like her mom did a lot of the navigating. So her dad would get a sight and then yell it down to her mom. And I think, I don't remember, I'm not sure about what they had on board, but I know they were navigating celestially most of the time. And
That's
yeah.
wild.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So you said that you only started caring properly about sailing when you're in like your early 20s, properly?
I think I didn't think of it as, no, probably when I was 16,
Okay.
I got really into it. I was teaching at the sailing camp in the summer and was getting more responsibility there, was teaching older kids and learning about the physics of sailing. Like I was getting really into it, and I was reading books, like Robin Lee Graham's book, A Dove, and I was reading Liz Clark's blog. She went across the Pacific on her Cal 40, and yeah, so I started to think like, oh, maybe this is something I could do beyond the river and this little sailing camp, and
Yeah.
yeah, thinking about crossing an ocean and having a boat of my own, and it started then, yeah, like 10 years ago.
So when you had those thoughts, like obviously you were 16, you're probably taking your mind back now because I can't remember a single thing of being 16 years old. But did you, when you say like that's when you started taking it seriously and thinking a bit more about sailings because you're like reading books and stuff, were you thinking like, I just want to go across the ocean on a boat by whatever means necessary? I'll try and get one, or were you thinking, I want to get a job on the water, I want to live on the water, I want to travel on the water? Like, how far did it go?
At the time, I didn't really know you could have a career as a sailor. I think I knew that you could like teach sailing at a summer camp and make minimum wage, and there was that. And then
Live a good
I
life.
yeah. And then the other thing I knew was cruising. So I think like yeah, knowing that my mom had gone across, but we didn't have a boat like that when I was a kid, and that wasn't something my family was going to do. Though my parents did talk about it, but we didn't end up doing it, and so I was sort of on the get a little boat and sail around the world alone sort of track, because that was the other option in my mind, was like
Yeah.
either teach at the sailing camp or go around the world alone.
Okay.
Two
Right.
extremes, yeah.
Well, so what type of ideas did you have in mind? Because you've gone from being a, there's very few people you meet who like wanted to do something at 16 and then are still doing it when they get to an adult.
Yeah,
Like
it's weird.
I don't know what I wanted to do when I was 16, but definitely isn't what I'm doing. I'm sure about that. But like, when did you start to put those motions in place of like, okay, I can actually get this and get a boat and do it for a job and make a living out of it? Because like, it must take a while to even just think of how to do that to start off with.
Totally. Yeah, it did take a while to it's the hindsight thing where like now I look back and I can trace the line of how I got here, but I could have never imagined the path that I took. So yeah. I think like I found a boat. I got my captain's license, my US captain's license when I was 18, and that was thanks to my dad really sort of telling me that that was a way I could get other jobs on boats. Like I was talking about these ideas and he knew that I couldn't do much more than I'd already done at the sailing school that I was working at. I'd kind of gotten to the top there and there wasn't, there wasn't much else to do. And so he was like, get your license and then you can get a job on a boat in the US. And, so I did that and that didn't lead to much in the sailing world, but I like drove a launch boat at a yacht club, which was funny. and then he and I found a free sailboat in the back of a boatyard when I was 19, I think. So, I was off at school and I came home and he was like, there's always free boats in the back of boatyards. You just have to, you know, ask around. And this one was great. It was a 24-foot CNC and it didn't have an engine, but it had new sails. And the guide stripped it out completely to like refurbish and redo it. And then, you know, life got in the way and just left it. So I just took over the storage payments, which was like, you know, $500 or something. And it was awesome. And I had that for a couple summers and that let me like start sort of, going out on my own and anchoring overnight and like doing these tiny little trips in hindsight that at the time felt massive. Like, And then I kept trying to get summer jobs in different places. So I got out of the Hudson River area and like tried getting summer jobs out in the ocean on the East Coast. And that started to lead me into seeing people who had sailing careers and starting to understand what it meant to like, make a living in sailing, which is, what got me on the path of having jobs in the sailing world.
Wicked. What was your first like proper, you know, paid job for being a skipper, I suppose, on an ocean sailing boat?
On an ocean sailing boat, it was 59 North. It was working with 59 North Sailing as a first mate. And then my first skipper job though was probably on Martha's Vineyard, and I went there for a summer. I knew there was, you know, it was a summer town. There were lots of boats, and landed myself a job at a boatyard, basically just sanding and varnishing these beautiful classic wooden boats. But I met lots of folks who had worked professional captains on classic yachts, and I was like a racing skipper for this couple who had a 30-foot boat and raced every Thursday night. And I didn't have a clue what to do when it came to racing. Like I didn't grow up in a racing world. So I was sort of like, I can be a racing skipper, and went out with them once a week. And that was like my first like skippering job. But like it was, it was very funny. I had no idea what I was doing.
It's quite cool. So it's like someone else's hobby was your job.
Oh, totally. Yeah, they wanted someone to like, they wanted a younger person to like jump around and pull on ropes, I think. But also, like they were sort of like looking to me as a tactician and I didn't know what a tactician was. I was like, we'll tack now. That seems right. 59 North was definitely my first like ocean passage job, which was, incredible.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Mate, what is Martha's Vineyard? Like, I've heard Obama lives there and, you know, a bunch of other people. Like, you go sailing there. What is that place? It's not a vineyard, I take it. Like, it's not.
It's an island.
Okay. It's an island. Why did they call it Martha's Vineyard? Who's Martha?
She was the wife of some British dude who came over and was like, here's your island, I think. But also, I think that could be totally off. I have no idea. But
that sounds really nice.
But, yeah, she was the wife of someone who came over and was doing the colonizing thing, and I think was in that mix. But now it's this island off the coast of Cape Cod that's like, if you say Martha's Vineyard in a lot of parts of the states, it's a fancy rich person getaway island. You know, people have summer homes.
Yeah, that's right.
Has a home there. Totally. Yeah, and it largely is. But it's also a beach vacation spot for families who live, you know, in Massachusetts and Boston, maybe.
Okay.
But then there's this amazing community of people who live there year round who are not made of money. They're the, you know, they live and work there all the time, and they're there in the, you know, nasty New England winters. And yeah, and they're boat builders and artists and really cool group of people. So I got to work with these boat builders at this boatyard called Gannon and Benjamin that still build traditional wooden boats over there.
Nice.
And yeah, so there's some cool, crunchy people there who like came in the 70s and stuck around. And
Oh, cool. All
yeah.
right. So it sounds nicer. So
Yeah.
what did you end? So suppose it's worth explaining. You actually do a sailing podcast
Yeah.
also, and you were at 459 North. What's it? Is it called? It's called Quarterdeck, is it?
No, the 59 North has several things going on. So
Okay.
the podcast is called On the Wind.
On the
And
wind,
yeah,
that's it.
and it's like this where we chat to another sailor for an hour or so. And that's been really fun. I've been doing that for the last 2 or 3 years, and just getting to, yeah, do what you do and call a sailor up who I think looks interesting, and get to hang out, which is fun. Yeah, and then the quarterdeck is like it's an online platform that they have where they do like
Cool.
lessons and things like that. So it's more educational. Yeah.
Right, okay, cool. I got it.
Yeah.
So how did you end up getting that job?
Yeah.
What was that interview like?
It was barely an interview. It was great. It was I just finished college and was looking for some sailing job. I had no idea what I was going to do when I finished school.
What
And
did you
even
do
though
at
I had
college? Was something related to boats, like design or anything?
not at all. No, I went to school in Ohio, which is completely landlocked,
Oh,
farmland, and studied environmental science and
oh,
arts,
cool.
and it was wonderful. I like, yeah, had an amazing college experience, just getting to learn, yeah, about biology and ecology and take painting classes. It was fantastic. And did a lot of environmental education stuff, so like taking kids into the woods and teaching them about the trees and things like that. So
Oh, nice.
still teaching and outdoors, which I think that's carried through. But yeah, finishing school, I was sort of like, okay, should I get a job at like an environmental nonprofit? Should I, you know, I had no clue. But the sailing idea had been percolating, and I remember talking to people who are older and smarter than me and saying that, and they all like got this look in their eyes, like, you have to go sailing now. Like they kind of like had this like do it while you can kind of like intensity about it. And I thought,
Yeah,
okay,
I think it was a good
yeah.
option.
Yeah, so
Environmental sciences is a very important thing. I'm not taking credit away from it, but everybody who I meet who does it is very poor and they never have much. So maybe you took
Yeah.
the better option.
Maybe. I mean, you don't get that rich going sailing either, but
Yeah,
yeah,
true. Yeah.
that's never gonna, yeah, was never the goal.
Yeah.
But then I cold emailed Andy at 59 North, and because I'd heard about them through their podcast, I think, and just wanted to go sailing. I wanted offshore experience, and I didn't really know how to get it. I kind of knew about deliveries, but hadn't, as like an 18, or I guess then 22-year-old woman, I wasn't that excited about getting on some random person's boat and going across an ocean. Like that seemed a little
It's the
daunting, and
start of
it,
a
you
horror
know,
movie, isn't it, really?
totally. And it can be like people have
Yeah, I
pretty
know.
bad experiences doing that. So, and not always, but I just didn't know how to vet that. I didn't know enough people to have a mutual friend who could connect me. So, I asked Andy basically if I could be an intern and like go on a trip in exchange for me working really hard, and they let me do that on a pretty short trip in the US, which was great. And then I met them at the Annapolis Boat Show that fall, and my timing was like perfect, where the business, they just bought a second boat. They went from one boat to two, and they also had just found out they were pregnant with their son. And so they were like, okay, we need to hire someone. We have two boats. We need staff all of a sudden. And so I walked around the boat show, and Andy offered me the job, and that was, yeah. And then I was with them for like 3 years, which was great. I like most of my offshore experience was with them.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
wicked. So when did
Yeah, it
you
was
start
cool.
doing all like the celestial navigation and really getting into that side of it?
Yeah, offshore with 59 North, there was a trip, I think from Annapolis to Bermuda, where we were like racing the Pride of Baltimore, which is like a cool
Oh,
tall
no
ship.
way.
And like racing, I'll put in quotes because we were on a Swan 59 and the Pride of Baltimore is like a big wooden schooner. So we
Yeah,
like weren't
so
really,
one-sided, yeah.
And I think like, and there was no wind. Like it was a very silly trip in some ways, but
Was on the nose, the Baltimore, no
exactly.
chance.
No, and we were like basically ra mo like motoring and racing each
Yeah.
other. Like it was a little silly. But we'd also decided to make the trip a celestial passage, and I was getting into the idea of upgrading my licenses, and you need to do some celestial to do that, and also just the romantic, like navigating by the stars. I'd been, hearing
Very
about it
cool.
since I was a kid, and wanting to try it. So I did a lot of it on that trip, and then for a year or so, I did a lot of it on all those passages, which was a lot of fun. So yeah, really just being at sea. I mean, it's the best way to. It was a very
Best way
lucky
to
way to
learn it.
learn. Yeah, exactly. Because you can just do it instead of sort of imagining that there's a horizon or whatever else,
Right. Am I right in assuming? Because I've never done that because I've just got a mobile phone, so I just use Navionics. But w do you know if you've got like terrible weather or you're in a storm for days and days, would it be right in assuming that you just cannot get a fix?
Yeah, you can't. So
Yeah.
you just are doing, you're just relying on dead reckoning then. So you're just like
Right.
looking at your last point, your last fix, and saying, okay, we think we've been going this heading at this speed for this much time, and that's our distance, and plotting it out on the chart. And then eventually when you get a gap in the clouds and see the sun again, or see a star at twilight, then you can get a fix and get back on track, which is so, and I've never done a passage just using celestial. I would love to just turn the instruments off and actually try it. And of course, you said this at the beginning of our conversation, but you can't, like, we can't really do it like they used to. You could go out with no electronics, but people would, call you crazy. Like, we have all the safety equipment now that we should use.
Yeah.
So you can't really do a trip on celestial in the way you used to, but I'd love to do that because I think that gives it a whole other element, because I've just done it sort of for fun and practice, but not over a long trip where you might lose the sun for a couple of days and be
Yeah.
crossing your fingers.
I mean, you wouldn't, if you were crossing like the Atlantic at the right time of year, especially the south, you probably would never have yourself in a position where you've got like bad weather for days and days. So I've got a friend who did it called Herb and Herbert. He well his wife had Navionics on backup, just in case like everything went horribly wrong, which is definitely the sensible thing to do. But yeah, they left from the Canaries and got to, I can't remember, South American country or Central American country. Just did it by celestial navigation. It was like spot on the entire way. And yeah, it seemed nice.
It does. I mean, and the beauty of it is that it does work. Like, it worked for a really
Yeah.
long time, and I mean, all the boats who are doing the Ocean Globe race right now are,
Yeah.
doing that, and everyone's showing up. So like, it
Yeah, it
totally
still
works.
works. Yeah, they're not lost.
It's pretty foolproof, which is awesome. I think it's a great thing to learn, if you can. It's just fun.
Yeah,
And I'm
yeah.
definitely rusty at it now, but like, it takes practice, but it's cool.
I'm just like, I've got a wobbly hand most of the time. Do you know what I mean? So I look at the people using it and I'm like, I'm sure. And you're on a boat also. It's rocking all over the place and the wobbly hand. Like, I don't think it would work out
No, it's hard.
at
It's
all.
hard. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
hard to keep still.
So what job did you do? You said you joined as like first mate. When did you start taking some of those boats out and teaching some people how to sail?
For 59 North.
Yep.
Yeah, I never skippered for them. So I sailed with them as first mate for 3 years and joined in 2019, and then COVID hit. So I was meant to do this whole like 6 month long sailing season as the first mate on Ice Bear on their Swan 59 they used to own. And was all geared up to go and like sold my car, and then COVID hit. But we still did a couple trips in 2020. And those were mostly like Annapolis to Bermuda and back to
Nice.
Bermuda. We did a lot of that, which was cool. And then trips south to the Caribbean, and then in 2021 I sailed with them for I think 6 or 7 months, pretty nonstop, and started down in the Caribbean and ended up in Portugal after, working our way up to Maine and doing a North Atlantic crossing, that same Maine to Ireland trip that my mother did when she was 13. And that was a really cool one to
Very cool.
feel like I was retracing some steps there. And so yeah, I had a really long year with them that year, which was fantastic. I think I did 12,000 miles or something in that season. And
Nice.
yeah, it was really special.
Yeah, that was cool. So what made you want to do what you're doing now? I mean, it sounds like it was kind of the thing you wanted to do since you were 16. But what made you want to jump into it? Because I mean, you're still incredibly young to like be running your own business and doing all your own stuff. It's quite an achievement. Well done, mate.
Thank you. Yeah, it's often I'm like, yeah, I have moments of sort of being like, why do I think if I have like a stressful day, trying to start my business and get it all going, I'm like, sort of like all stressed and frustrated. And then I sit down and realize that I've done this to myself, like
You could always
I'm the
just
one.
sit at home.
I know. Like I could also go, yeah, just get a day job. That's like, yeah. So it's yeah, I think I'd been with 59 North for 3 years or so, and I'd done tons of sailing with them, which was amazing. And as a first mate, which like is such a fun role, like I think you get to basically do it all. You get to do sort of all of the things of like leading the crew, running the boat, provisioning the boat. I also was the boat captain, so I was like doing all the maintenance and like making the maintenance plan. I learned so much. And then backing up the skipper while they're making the big decisions. But really like running the deck and doing like it was so much fun. I learned a
Yeah,
ton,
great
but
job.
yeah, it was so cool. And then when I was ashore, I worked for them as well. So I had like a full-time job with them, which is so rare in the sailing industry that you can be employed by the same company year round. And that was just like, yeah, so I could go home and help them run the business remotely,
Oh,
and
no.
that
What
was
type
really
of stuff
cool.
was that? It's like admin or legal organization stuff.
Everything. It's like small business, it was, yeah, it was like
Yep.
updating the website and working on their podcast and running their social media. I did that for a few years, and yeah, like working with sponsors and doing maintenance stuff from afar and managing crew and managing clients. And yeah, it was
That's such good
everything.
experience for running your own business, mate. You
It
know what I
was,
mean? Being
yeah.
able
No, I
to do
mean,
that.
59 North, yeah, the experience with them totally like set me up for what I'm doing now. And I think yeah, I feel so lucky to like have been able to grow with them. And it was my first job out of college, really. Like I'd had different summer jobs and some short time gigs, but it was my first full time job. And I think that's part of the reason that I wanted to transition into trying my own thing and doing something else, because I'd, finished school and gone straight into it with them. So I was excited for like just something different, being, being in my early mid-20s and wanting to change it up. But also, yeah, also wanting to be home and have a community. I think like the being away for 6 months at a time or 3 months at a
Oh, it's
time,
hard.
it was tough. And I think like I wanted to put roots into a place. I wanted to live, somewhere coastal where I could have a sailing community and a sailing life, and not be jetting off all the time. And the jetting off was amazing. I got to go to Svalbard. I got to go, to like, yeah, all these incredible places. And I want to keep doing that. Hopefully in the winter months in future years, I'll be able to do that here and there. But yeah, I want to like, yeah, live in one place. And I hadn't done that yet. So I think that was a huge part of it. And just like having ideas brewing about my own business and my own boat for a while. And then those things started to line up. So I bought the boat that I have in 2022 when I was still working with 59 North, not really knowing what the plan with it was, like whether it was a cruising boat or whether it was a business. And then that, yeah, coming into place over the last year or so, enough that I then left 59 North and still work with them on the podcast. And like I'm sure I'll sail with them in the future once my business is rolling a little more. But
Yeah.
yeah.
That's really cool. It's great that you've still got a good relationship with them as well, even though you've, gone
Yeah.
to do your own thing. That's really good.
Yeah, it's
So
good.
what's your plan for this like boat business that you set up then? What are you thinking, like short term, medium term, long term?
Yeah, so the business is called Sail Seabird, and I named the boat Seabird. And it took me a while to like find naming things. I find really tough. So it took me a while to get
Go on,
there.
mate, explain that one.
It took a while because I think, like, I was like business name and sort of thinking like, I'm going to be based in Maine. I'm going to be on the East Coast. I want to be doing like experiential education kind of trips on the boat. And all the names I was coming up with were so boring. Like, it was all just like East Coast sailing and like things that are very descriptive and like probably are really good for your Google search, but
Probably,
like,
yeah.
like that's probably great, but none of it felt like me. And then I've just gotten obsessed with seabirds sailing offshore. Like, I think I found this amazing seabirds book. One of my friends got it for me. And every time I was offshore on the 59 North boats, like a gannet would come by and I'd be beside myself. Like, I really like nerded out about all the seabirds. And I think just being out there on long trips and like for days you see nothing but seabirds, you get really into them and like you kind of relate to them because you're both doing this like long journey.
It's a
So
sea.
yeah.
What do you mean, seabird? Is that like, is it a
All
bird that only stays at the sea? Sorry, I have no
No, this is
idea about
great. This is
birds.
great.
I know pigeons, seagulls. This is like basically it. Like, is it a bird that crosses the Atlantic at the certain times of year? That type, right?
They
Okay.
go so far. It's unbelievable. So like terns, like an Arctic tern, will go from like Svalbard all the way down to South America. Like they and often nonstop. They'll fly thousands of miles. These like
Why?
little these little birds for I don't really know why. It's like it's they always most of them mate in the same place every year, but
Right.
then they go off. I don't know, maybe for like seasonal migration and having food in different places. And some of them will just go out to sea to go fishing and like fatten themselves up and then come back
Oh,
and
yeah.
mate. It's incredible. Yeah, they're such amazing creatures that like cross oceans. Many of them will always return back to the same nesting spot. So they've got this amazing like navigational ability too, where they're just like,
Yeah.
yeah, they like take off from Iceland and they like know they're like gonna go show up in, I don't know, Uruguay, like in a like it's sort of crazy to
It's
wrap
bizarre.
your head around. Yeah.
It's
So they're
really
amazing
bizarre.
animals. Yeah. And there's so many different types of them that yeah, I think like puffins, which are hysterical, they're so cute and weird.
Yeah.
Like they just look like the cartoon version of themselves when you
So a
see them in
puffin is a
real life.
seabird.
They are seabirds. Yeah, they're terrible flyers, but they fly really far. Like they're not great at flying. They like have such fat little
They do
bodies. They're not good at it.
that. That's
Yeah,
great
just
impression, mate. Great puffin impression.
Yeah, thank you. I've been working on
Yeah, fair enough. Do you know, so like the
it.
migration to going a bit off topic here, but like the migration stuff, is that an instinct that they have? Do they have like an actual navigation system in the brain or something? Or is it like the one that is still alive? Everyone's doing it. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's flying that way. We just go.
That's a great question. I don't really know. And I think like sometimes when I think about like if I wasn't sailing, what would I do? I think I would become a seabird researcher. Like I'm just so I
Thank God you
could.
said researcher.
Yeah, I'd just become a seabird.
Just become a seabird.
No, I'm not. I'm sometimes I am delusional, but not that
Yeah, would be a great life,
much.
wouldn't it? No troubles.
No,
Right.
but yeah, the business is like, yeah, it's called Sail Seabird. And I'm going to be basing it out of Portland, Maine, but doing coastal sailing education trips. So like, yeah, like passages, but you're anchoring every night and like learning how to do coastal cruising, but also just like experiencing the sort of coastal cruising life and like getting to explore the little islands and like see the sea life and yeah, sort of a all around experience
Really
that's sort of
cool.
based in sailing, but yeah, I like all the
Yeah,
parts of it, I think.
just a bit of everything out there. So where your boat is, where you've got it moored, where you're running like your business from, have you got some, is that like a good cruising area? Can you spend like a nice week out on the water and get shelter and have access to stuff? I've never been there.
Maine has it's a little like the Swedish archipelago. Like there's so many islands. There's hundreds and hundreds of islands, maybe thousands up and down the coast of Maine, and tons of like rivers to, go up and explore. And so lots of hurricane holes. But also just like endless little places to check out. So there's some bigger towns, and Portland's a city, but like lots of, uninhabited islands or like little communities that, all have moorings. And cruising in Maine is a pretty big thing. Like it's definitely like a cruising ground people aspire to and talk about on the East Coast, and I have hardly gotten to touch it, so I'm so psyched to just get to explore it. And then also I'll be going south to Martha's Vineyard, so that's like you go across the Gulf of Maine, you have a little bit more of an offshore experience, but then you also get to like weave through some canals on your way there, and you deal with lots of currents, and like it's a ton of variety up and down the East Coast. So it's a cool sailing ground and great for teaching, but also just great for like living aboard and exploring.
That's wicked. What does the season look like? When does it start and when does it finish around there?
I think it's my first season here, but from what I gather, it's sort of June to September for most people. Some people will do a shorter one. I mean, maybe I don't know if someone has, I might be wrong, but what I'm doing is June to September and maybe dipping into October. I was sailing up here in October this year and it was awesome. You then have hurricane risk, but like, yeah, it's amazing. It was really dreamy up here in October. So I'm going to start June 1st, and then my latest advertised trip is like the middle of September. And I might go a little longer than that.
Yeah, wicked. What have you already got booked in? Like, what type of courses is it, or what type of like sailing experience is it that you've got booked in already for the year?
So I just posted the sailing calendar like a week ago, which was really exciting and
Oh, cool.
scary to click publish. But super exciting. And I'd already booked a private trip before the calendar came out, which was amazing. So I've got a group of women who are coming from Maine down to Martha's Vineyard with me. So it's a 7-day trip, and we'll start in Portland and have time to like explore a little up here and then shoot south and stop along the way and finish on the vineyard, which will be really nice in the beginning of July. And then around that I've built like there's a trip exploring the Cape Cod area, so like starting and ending in Martha's Vineyard, and that's like I think a 6-day voyage, but so there's tons of islands around there to explore and lots of options with which direction we can sail. So I think with all the trips, like the people will show up, and then pretty quickly we'll get into like, okay, like what does the weather look like? Let's look at the chart and like together decide where we're sailing tomorrow, and do that every day. So they get to be part of the decision making, and I'm taking, people with no ex sailing experience up to, you can own a boat and have crossed an ocean, and I think still get something out of it. So
Yeah, it sounds
I'm
like a cool
excited.
place just to go for a week, even like if you just want to be on a
Exactly.
boat.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, and then so we'll start the season in Maine, and have some coastal trips up here and some island exploration trips up here, and then work our way down to the vineyard, and then work our way back up again. And the Cape Cod trip is almost booked already, which is so exciting. I've been like impressed at people sort of who have been chatting with me about the company as I've been starting it, have been showing up, which is exciting.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's amazing. So, like you want a home base, like I want a home base as well, mate. Do you know, like living on a boat full time and never having like a letterbox somewhere? Like,
It's
I'm
tough.
okay with it. But yeah, I much prefer like, because if something goes wrong, you've got somewhere to just go to immediately. Do you know what I mean? So it's much
For
better.
sure.
Are you thinking of doing like some longer passages, or would you, would you do that type of stuff for 59 North because you're still, working with them on stuff?
I do. My friend Nikki Henderson just crossed the Atlantic and was post she had Starlink, so she was posting pictures the whole time, and I was like, oh man, I miss being at sea. Like I do have that like urge still to go offshore, and so I'll keep doing it. And I'm excited to see like what that looks like. And I would love to take this boat offshore. She's totally designed for it. The boat was built as an offshore racing boat for the US Naval Academy in the 80s. So she's like a super solid like 80s era offshore boat. So she's made for it. I would want to do some upgrades and, you know, buy a life raft and do the sort of offshore readiness prep that would take I think another year to really get there and then maybe do some offshore trips. I'd love to go up to Nova Scotia and Newfoundland next year, which isn't far from where we are now. So that's not too crazy. And then yeah, I would love to. I've thought about Bermuda trips and but I'm also trying to like stay in the moment, which is hard for me. But like try to stay, you know, in this year and like plan out this season and just try to find people to come sailing and just see what the first year is like too, because I'm learning constantly with this. It's starting a business is like, yeah, it's like going to school. Like you're learning all the time, but with more real pressure than school.
Guess it's at the point where you're setting up your first business and you're like, bloody hell, if nobody likes this, I'm going to be broke. It's at that point where,
Oh,
it'll
there's
be
so much
great to
more
have
risk.
like rich parents or, a best friend who's incredibly wealthy, But yeah, it's scary.
It is.
It's quite scary. It gets harder the older you get as well, because you've generally got more to lose the older you are. Yeah,
No,
that's
it's
really good.
true. Yeah, there's definitely risk and yeah, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, just because we were talking about the types of stuff that you're going to be doing over the summer, like what type of group size can you get in your boat? How many people could you keep on there for a week?
I can legally take six passengers with how the boat is inspected in the US. And six people I think would be a full boat. Like six plus me would be full. It'd be and I think, you know, you're living on a boat like all of these kinds of trips. You're like very quickly getting intimate with strangers who are like, you know, sleeping a few feet away from you. And that's part of the beauty of these kinds of trips where like I'm going to mostly be doing trips for adults. I'm going to do one trip for teenagers, and if it goes well, I think I'll add another. But especially with adults, it's like you're doing summer camp after not having done summer camp in a long time. And I've seen that work really well and be really cool for people to sort of get out of their comfort zone and live in a small space with other people. And the boat's set up super simply, so like there is actually quite a lot of space because there isn't like tons of cabinetry and furniture built in. Like she's pretty clean and like open.
Nice.
So I could take six. I think four will be like a really
Floor's comfortable.
comfortable. Four is super comfortable. Six will be like cozier, but full. So yeah, somewhere between four and six. And I think I do have some
Nice.
people looking at private trips, so they can sort of choose with that. And then for the open enrollment trips, yeah, I'm trying to strike a balance between four and six, depending on the length of the trip and who's signing up. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, like if it's six adults who've all got experience sailing, then yeah, an absolute breeze.
Yeah, or if some people sign up together, like I've got a father-daughter pair who are coming on a trip, and like it's easier to put them, you know, in sort of the bunk beds up in the forepeak than it would be for two strangers. And yeah, and I think with teenagers, like I can put six teenagers on board plus me plus a first mate, like then you can fill the boat a little more. But yeah, with adults, like I'll keep it a little more comfortable and have fewer people on.
That's so nice. So a dad is just is he's booked a week on his boat on a on your boat to spend with his daughter.
Yeah, and it's the his daughter I went to school with actually. So I think she like
Wow,
yeah,
that's
so
really
they've
sweet.
I know, I'm so excited. I just found out today that they're coming. It's like it's so neat. I like yeah, did
That's great to
like
be a part of
yeah, it's really cool.
that. Yeah, that's sweet. Right, mate. Okay, so the boat you've got now, that's like your first cruising boat that you're running your company from, and you're going to put some miles under the keel and all that. You've sailed around a few places, so if money was no object, what boat would you like to get for yourself?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not a like boat enthusiast in the way that a lot of folks that I work with and know are. Where like I know a lot of people who like immediately are like, I would get, you know, whatever exact boat that they want. But I think if I was going to get a cruising boat, I would get something smaller than my boat. So I'd get like something like 36 feet.
Nice.
I'm really charmed by, I was just looking at the layout of the Cape Georges. I'm really charmed by those. I know they're like heavy older boats, but I know this couple who Sailing Magic Carpet is their YouTube channel, and they've got a
Oh, the
Cape George they're
carpenter.
fixing up. Yeah,
He's very good.
Paladino. Yeah, he's amazing. And Maya, his girlfriend, are really cool. I met them in Marstrand, Sweden when I was there with 59
Nice.
North and interviewed them on their old boat. And that boat I would love too. It was a Vindo 28, which
Yeah,
I
that's
think is
right.
actually 32 feet long and looks like it's a wooden boat, but isn't, like, very charming. So I like a classic, charming, smaller boat
Is
for a
that
cruising boat.
because they had didn't they get that and it was bashed up or something? Or
Yeah, he rebuilt the
that's
whole
right.
thing. Yeah, he's
That's it.
incredible. Yeah, really talented. But I'm really excited. The boat I have now, I'm like pretty psyched about as a business boat. Like, she was purpose built to do sail training with big groups of people, and they would cram 12 people on board for offshore races, which, like, it's way too many. But like, that's, but like, they
Boat's
would sail
always
the
too busy
boat.
when you're racing.
Oh my
There's no
gosh,
space.
yeah.
Get shouted at all
I know.
the
That's what I, and that's like, I don't, yeah, I've never had that much interest in racing. I think I would like it more now that I know more than I did when I, went racing a couple times when I was younger. But
Yeah. It's a good way to refine your skills,
for
or you
sure.
like I learned a lot by doing it. I just didn't enjoy doing
Yeah,
it.
exactly. Less fun. Yeah, and I do think, like, something I feel like is a gap in sailing is, like, so I was talking to a friend about this last night at dinner, where, like, it's pretty easy, relatively easy, if you live in a place where there's water, to like walk around on a dock and find someone to take you racing on some evening. And yeah, you'll get stuck, sitting on the rail and go racing. And but they're, the people who are racing are there to race. And so
Race.
it, over time, you can learn a ton doing that, but that environment can be intimidating to walk into. It can be intense. You can, sometimes people are yelling. Like, it's not like a soft entrance into sailing.
For girls especially, like
Totally.
very male dominated, like the regatta yacht club vibe. I don't like it.
No, it's tough to come into and feel comfortable. And there was an expose article, I don't remember what magazine, but it was in a sailing magazine last year, just about the amount of harassment that women get in the sailing regatta world, and just like the,
For real.
yeah, totally. And like, unfortunately, as a woman, I'm not shocked by that. Like, I'm like, it doesn't have to be the sailing world. It doesn't have to be racing. Like, just, you're just sort of like, yeah, that happens, and it sucks. But like, yeah, there was some women came out and were talking just about, like, the words they're getting called while they're trying to just go racing, and the way that men behave at the parties afterwards. Like, there's so much,
Oh yeah, I bet that's
party
yeah.
drinking culture after. And
We are
I
buggers for
think
that
that's
stuff,
where,
unfortunately.
yeah, exactly.
Not
Yeah.
all of
And
us.
then, no, it's true. And then sort of the other way, a lot of people get introduced to sailing, which can be wonderful too, is like the afternoon, go drink beers with some friends and float around on someone's boat in the harbor. And I've done that, and that's great. But that's also like, the point of that activity is like, go float around and drink beers in the harbor. And then there's sailing schools. Like, you can go and do the curriculum courses and learn how to sail, and there's lots of ways to get into it. But I think I want to try with this to like make it feel accessible for people to come into sailing and like do a multiple day trip, which is a big deal for tons of people. Most people haven't done an overnight trip on a boat. But have it be educational, but not like a hard curriculum, and not like, we're going racing and it's intense. Like, I want to make it, feel comfortable for people, but also, and it will be challenging. Like, people will be getting out of their comfort zones no matter what level they're at, but yeah, make it comfortable and fun and inclusive, which is what it should be at its best,
Do you know it's so strange because it's like you look at a boat like you've got or a boat that I've got, and it's a boat that you could like cruise around the world in, you could potter around your bay, or you could take it to regattas and do whatever. And it's like there's so many different types of people own these things, and it fits into like so many different types of hobbies as well. But like, yeah, the regatta yacht club vibe, it's totally different from cruising. Like, what a difference. It's
It
like
really
in
is,
a lot of
yeah.
cases the polar opposite type of people. But they still have something in common. But yeah, it's very weird. Yeah, come to think of it, I've never seen a woman in a regatta in Spain. No, never actually. Yeah, not once.
It's still very, and I actually was saying, I was joking about this with my boyfriend today, but I've had in the first week I've had 5 signups, which is like more than I expected, and I'm or maybe 6 signups, and I'm so stoked. And it's I just got my first man signing up today, and it's the father signing up with his daughter. And I feel like often it's
Nice.
the other way around. It's really hard to get women to sign up to go sailing, just because like you don't, as a woman, you don't see yourself. If you're going to a regatta and you're looking around and you're the only one, it's hard to like look at someone and see yourself and be like, oh, okay, I can do that too. Like there's so many women who I came across in the sailing world who were ahead of me, who I got to look at and say, oh, like she's captaining this boat, or she's the chief mate on this tall ship and she's commanding the crew. And like I had this first mate, Allison Taylor, who works for this organization called Sea Education Association, and they have these tall ships and do these semester programs for college students, where I got to sail up and down the east coast of New Zealand and do like oceanography science projects and anthropology research, and
No way.
also sail on a tall
When
ship.
was this? How old were you when you did that?
I was 20, I think. It was partway
Wow.
through college. It was incredible. It was like, and there was this great program at my college where like I had funding where I was able to and financial aid where I was able to go, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go sail on a tall ship in New Zealand, obviously. Like what?
It's insane.
Yeah, super cool. They're a great organization, and this woman Allison was the first mate, and just like knew her stuff, was so calm, like managed our watch. There were 8 of us college students who had no idea. I Even though I knew how to sail, I had no idea how to sail a tall ship. Like we're all totally out of our element, like babies walking around, and she just like was so calm and so talented at like handing over responsibility to us throughout the course of the trip, and like letting us tie a knot by ourselves, and then letting us take the helm by ourselves, and then like, taking steps back as we progressed. And she was a big reason that I was like, oh, I could be a professional sailor. Like she showed me that that existed. She showed me that it was a path that she was on, and then that made me feel like I could be on it too. So I do think, I do think I've noticed that, and I'm excited to see who wants to come sailing with me, because they might see themselves in me, or they might see a different, option than the other options they maybe had. Which is exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I think, it's great what you're doing. And to be honest, I think any, girl, lady, woman who wants to do that type of stuff, I think it's super inspirational because it's like, I guarantee, if you went to like a high school or a college in like the middle of England and you asked definitely any woman or any girl, whatever, like, do you think you could have a career like sailing around on the ocean? So few would be even aware that it's remotely possible. From the men's side, you would automatically presume like, oh, you can go in the Navy or you can be a fighter or, you
Yeah,
can
good point.
tugboats, whatever. But yeah, it's not, you just wouldn't know about it. So it's great that you're doing it and you're putting it online and you're sharing your refit stuff, which is really cool, like, because I've
It's
been
gonna be
watching
impressive.
you do the work on your boat. It's been a lot. So yeah, it's great that you're doing it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's exciting. And I think like just what's exciting about having my own business, while it is like a scary venture, is it's really exciting to realize, I think in my better moments, I realize that I can make it what I want, and there's so much freedom in that. And it's exciting to be like, oh, okay, if I want to like have the website look a certain way, I can just do that. Or if I want to like invite certain people on the boat, I can do that too. And something I'm developing now that I haven't launched yet, but I'll tell you, is like I'm trying to have a scholarship program, so that like, because these trips are, they're priced correctly. Like it's the right price to run the business. It's what other people charge. It's like a great value for what you're getting, but it's still prohibitive to a bunch of people and families who maybe would want to send their teenager on this kind of experience, but just can't afford it. So I'm trying to find a way to have a scholarship fund that people can support as individuals, or companies could support it, And then that goes into sponsoring spots on the boat for folks who apply to it, which would be so exciting because I think sailing is still this
Very.
like thing that has a pretty high barrier to entry for
Yeah, it's
people
off limits for a
who've been.
lot.
So many people have been excluded from it for a long time in different ways, and I think just like trying to like get creative about that and look at other there's other organizations and companies that are doing really great work doing this kind of thing. Like I'm not inventing it, so it's like exciting to get to like look at what other people are doing and figure out a way that I can yeah just open it up to more people because as we know it's such a special thing that we get to do.
It's crazy. It's something that, like, you can't really, when you're out there, it's hard work, mate, sometimes, like, it's not easy, is it? It's bloody shit sometimes. But there's a certain feeling you get when you're out there and you're just looking out and, the wind's pushing you and you're catching fish and it's magnificent. You can't really explain it. You can't describe it. It's just something you feel. It's weird, but it would be great if everybody could feel it.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's a special and I do think the thing that's been like one of my favorite parts of sailing that like doesn't it doesn't have to be sailing for me to get this, but I think I found just like so much of a it just puts you in the moment. And I think like in our lives, especially in land life, like it's hard to be in the moment. And there's so many things pulling us away and our phones and stress and all the things that are going on in the world. Just like it's so lucky to be able to like put yourself in the moment. And there's so many ways to do that. But sailing's a pretty cool one. Yeah, that just makes you be present and like hold the helm and look at where you're going and think about just what the next thing to do is for the boat and for the trip. So, yeah, I think it's good for me and other people too, hopefully. So,
Mate, it's got to be good for everybody. Like, look at people who like live as part of nature or like in a forest or by a lake or a river or the beach or on the water or in the mountains. Like, they're generally happier people. Like, there is something that it does to you as a person. But it's awesome. It's such a cool way to like just go about and live. I mean, like, literally the history of the entire planet and like the moldings of the continents and the trade winds, like that is what is moving you around on your home. It's such a cool thing.
It's true. I like that. I like that like world globe view of putting it. That's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Right, mate, where can people go to like get all the information for the trips that you're doing?
So it's Sail Seabird, and that's on Instagram and that's the website, sailseabird.com. And it's all right on the website. All the voyages are up there. With all the information and my email address is easy to find through the website too. Or they can message me on Instagram and if they have questions and then and like I said, the one of the trips is almost full, so get on it.
Get on the website and bulk you lazy
Yeah, exactly. No, it's
buggers.
exciting. And if yeah, no, I'm excited to the community that I've been finding around starting this company already has been so amazing. And I learned that at 59 North, like and just being in the sailing world. Like people are so supportive. And it's so much fun to get to meet people who are excited about similar things. So I'm stoked to see who comes sailing next summer.
Oh, it's good, mate. Well, I will be happy to see you do well and good luck with it.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, you're
I
welcome.
don't I'm not usually on this side of the interview. It's nice.
I'll cook it.